Each month, supporters of Colin's Last Stand on Patreon vote for a topic I should cover in a future episode of SideQuest, and a recent winner asked me to discuss 5 gaming franchises that should come back and 5 gaming franchises that should go away. I'm undertaking that topic today, but doing so with a couple of twists. For starters, I'm only going to focus on franchises that should come back because I feel the opposite is a bit mean-spirited. SideQuest fans may recall that I made a similar decision some months back, when fans voted for me to talk about the most overrated and underrated games of the last decade, and I decided to only talk about underrated games. Same idea. The other alteration I'm going to make is to focus specifically on PlayStation-owned IP, simply to help focus the video. So here are 10 games or series, owned by Sony and presented in alphabetical order, that I hope will one day make a comeback, perhaps on PlayStation 5 in the not-so-distant future. Games and series chosen not only because they've been quiet for so long, but because they each fit, in some way, shape, or form, into the current gaming climate, and could therefore be a boon to PlayStation's catalog. Number 1, Colony Wars. For a few years during the PS1 era, a franchise called Colony Wars burned brightly. Developed by Psygnosis, once one of Europe's most prolific game studios, founded in the mid-80s and acquired by Sony in 1993 before the PlayStation brand even launched, the Colony Wars trilogy allowed players to pilot sophisticated, heavily armed spaceships and padded out the original PlayStation's catalog of exclusives, which was heavy on would-be mascot platformers, JRPGs, and the like, but fairly light on space sims that, like Colony Wars, would have been most at home on mid to late 90s PCs. That's ultimately what made Colony Wars so special. It commanded attention and respect not only because of its at-the-time beautiful graphics, but because it was so attractive to players who may not call consoles home. The original Colony Wars launched in 1997, and its two sequels, Vengeance and Red Sun, followed in 1998 and 2000, respectively. But critical acclaim and some commercial success didn't translate to a continuation of the franchise on PlayStation 2 and beyond. Indeed, right after Red Sun launched, Sony rebranded Psygnosis as Sony Liverpool, and the studio went all in on its two racing series for which it was best known, F1 and Wipeout. Colony Wars was inexplicably left behind, and Sony chose never to revisit the series, not only with the studio that created it to begin with, but with any other first or second party teams in Sony's orbit. In today's market, a revived Colony Wars could act as a welcome reprieve from the PlayStation brand's overemphasis on story-driven, narrative-based third-person action games, instead focusing on pure gameplay, which was pretty much what Colony Wars was all about. And hey, a game set in space is always welcome on Planet Moriarty. Number 2, Jeanne d'Arc. PlayStation Portable was the perfect home for strategy RPGs like Jeanne d'Arc, what with Final Fantasy Tactics War of the Lions and Tactics Ogre Let Us Cling Together comprising some of the finest games in PSP's extensive catalog. Developed by Japanese Team Level 5, a longtime PlayStation collaborator best known in the ecosystem for Dark Cloud, White Knight Chronicles, and Ni No Kuni, Jeanne d'Arc expertly fused together strategic turn-based combat and all of the systemic depth that comes along with it, with a historical thread that put a different sort of spin on the famous story of Joan of Arc. Indeed, the backdrop of the Hundred Years' War, the generations-long conflict where Joan of Arc made her name in real history, was an unexpectedly grounded touch in an otherwise dramatized and video game-ized story. When Jeanne d'Arc launched on PSP in the West in the summer of 2007, it instantly found a loving audience, and more than a decade later, many still consider it to be one of the handheld's very best games. That's why it's so strange that Sony, as the owner of the IP, never opted to revisit it. It's especially strange because gamers are so incredibly hungry for this particular genre of game, delivered in this particular style, and yet their hunger is very rarely satiated. I mean, people would kill for a new Final Fantasy Tactics or Tactics Ogre at this point. So why doesn't Sony deliver a strikingly similar kind of game, just as they once did, using their own IP, perhaps fleshing out a different angle of the story? Better yet, why doesn't Sony simply pivot to another historical moment with a different historical character, but very much in the same vein? There's so much potential here, and it's a shame that Sony pretends like Jeanne d'Arc never even happened at all. Something similar would be right at home on PS4's PSN. Number 3, MAG. The inclusion of MAG on this list might be puzzling to some of you, but I think this one-off title from now-defunct Sony-owned studio Zipper Interactive could have incredible legs in the current gaming environment. If you're unfamiliar with MAG, which stands for Massive Action Game, it was a PS3 exclusive launched in the early months of 2010, and in some specific ways, it was incredibly ahead of its time. MAG allowed up to 256 players to play at once, in hindsight a totally ludicrous, unnecessary, and chaotic number, but the spirit of the game somewhat falls in line with the Battle Royale trend that, thanks to the likes of Fortnite and PUBG, has quickly overtaken the industry. So why wouldn't Sony eagerly pursue a way to get itself involved? Now, Sony shuttered Zipper in early 2012, only 6 years after buying the studio, but it retains ownership of the MAG IP, and perhaps it could act as a worthy conduit for Sony to make some cash off of the Battle Royale trend that many of its publishing partners, in one fashion or another, are already banking on. Is the Battle Royale market flooded? Sure. And is it often unwise to follow a trend as opposed to creating your own? Absolutely. But it would be foolish to ignore that Battle Royale may just stick around for many years. And so wouldn't it be a smart move to make a timely investment into something that could pay dividends in the future? Reviving MAG, making it free to play, and placing it as, say, a PS5 launch exclusive could be an enticing entrance into the PlayStation ecosystem for some, and a way to retain other players whose attention may be waning with the frenetic offerings from Epic, PUBG Corporation, and the like. It may not be an investment that pans out, but it's certainly one worth making. Number 4, Parappa the Rapper. The original PlayStation was absolutely rife with unique games, but standing at or near the top of the tower was Parappa the Rapper, which was launched in the West more than 20 years ago, during the holiday season of 1997. In a time before dance, rhythm, and music games took off, and long before hip-hop reached its critical and commercial zenith, not to mention the mainstream cultural acceptance it enjoys today, Parappa the Rapper enticed players to follow along with various custom-made rap songs by pressing specific combinations of buttons. It wasn't earth-shattering in its gameplay approach, but it was undeniably fun in its execution, and some of the songs and characters remain beloved with the PlayStation faithful to this day. The potential for a Parappa the Rapper revival is huge because Sony can make Parappa a constantly updating platform on PSN and include not only the custom-made songs that made the original hum, but garner support from the many hip-hop artists out there that would likely love to be a part of the project. There could be something truly symbiotic about bringing the formula back, but honing it towards a new generation with different expectations. While Parappa the Rapper did live again in the guitar-centric Jammer Lammy, launched on PS1 in 1999, and a proper yet poorly executed PS2 sequel launched in the West in 2002, the company has largely squandered their rapping dog's untold potential. And while Parappa got some love in PlayStation All-Stars, the more recent PS4 ports of the original and its sequel may just be a testbed for a possible revival, though the level of interest and the quality of feedback is unlikely to have met Sony's internal metrics. Number 5, Resistance. It's been so long since PlayStation 3 launched that many people may have simply forgotten that, back in the fall of 2006, Sony put a lot of trust into Insomniac's all-new first-person shooter series, effectively centering PS3's early months around it. The original Resistance game, called Fall of Man, delivered, but it was also a bit crude, as FPSs, particularly on console, were still finding their way forward. Fast forward more than a decade, though, and the first-person shooter renaissance has come full circle. Gone are the days of a new FPS every week or two. Here to stay are the FPS offerings that stood the test of time, while still delivering something unique and fun to audiences. With a reliance on a unique, well-told story and finely tuned mechanics, there's no reason why Resistance shouldn't be as relevant today as it was back then. A Resistance revival makes sense for two reasons in particular. For starters, Sony's other FPS-exclusive franchise, Killzone, is typically developed by Guerrilla Games, the studio behind Horizon. While they could easily be building the next Killzone and Horizon simultaneously, it wouldn't be a surprise to see the studio go all in on the latter for the time being. And of course, Insomniac is fresh off of what will easily be its biggest critical and commercial hit in Spider-Man. They're red hot. While other studios have made Resistance games, Sony-owned Bend did a nice job with the PSP iteration in 2009, it would be nice to see Insomniac go back to the well. And with an expansive team spanning two offices, it can conceivably fit a fourth iteration of the core franchise in its upcoming repertoire. 2008's Resistance 2 and 2011's Resistance 3 simply aren't enough. We want more, and hopefully Sony will deliver, especially with its long-standing obsession with good stories. Resistance, after all, had plot in droves. Number 6, SOCOM. If there's an example of a franchise that was significantly ahead of its time, it's SOCOM. SOCOM Navy SEALs came to PlayStation 2 in August of 2002, toting online, squad-based multiplayer on console many years before such an idea became mainstream. SOCOM was such a hit, in fact, that Sony ended up buying its developer to ensure that it wouldn't bring its ideas and gameplay elsewhere under a different moniker. But as time went on, Zipper Interactive's series stopped delivering what players wanted, and by the time SOCOM 4 launched on PS3 in 2011, the name meant little compared to what it did nearly a decade prior. But times have changed. Even if Zipper is no more, SOCOM should come back. Its potential competition proves it. Sony has something meaningful to gain by re-entering this space with a familiar IP. What's so intriguing to me about a potential SOCOM revival is that it's something a seemingly meaningful subsection of players actually want. SOCOM is continuously brought up, and its absence on PS4 seems plenty lamented. In addition to winning back some old-timers, though, it's also easy to imagine SOCOM landing a healthy, new fanbase of people who didn't grow up with it, but like some of the games from a genre that it ultimately helped spawn and solidify, games ranging from Payday the Heist to Rainbow Six Siege. Like with the aforementioned MAG, bringing SOCOM back to compete in a vibrant market is a risk, but it's a calculated one nonetheless. For as attractive as Sony's platform is to lovers of single-player, story-driven content, it's less attractive to those who want to experience something with friends. Indeed, Sony has nothing in its contemporary catalog of exclusives that can do what SOCOM can. The only remaining question is, who would develop it? Number 7, Sound Shapes. Out of all the games on this list, Sound Shapes, initially launched on PlayStation 3 and PS Vita in the summer of 2012, is the smallest and certainly least consequential IP, but it's also perhaps the would-be franchise with the most interesting upside. For those unfamiliar, Sound Shapes was a side-scrolling 2D platformer made by Canadian studio Queasy Games, and the entire idea was to essentially synthesize its soundtrack with its on-screen action. By collecting items on screen, a given stage's accompanying song begins to fill out, swell, and become more robust. There's something truly satisfying about Sound Shapes, which is why it remains on my mind to this day. But there's something exciting about what Sony could do with it today, particularly at the cross-section of video games and music. Imagine a platform native to PlayStation Network that, like Guitar Hero and Rock Band before it, has a collection of songs in the form of stages to purchase and download. But unlike Guitar Hero, Rock Band, and its ilk, Sound Shapes would be completely free, with its own suite of demo songs and creation tools. Once players get hooked, they have the option to buy more, and Sony could spend a little on the back end to secure some music for the game from popular artists to help make Sound Shapes a thing. With video games becoming increasingly mainstream as each day passes, the potential for crossovers would be endless. And like my Parappa the Rapper idea, a platform like this could take full advantage of the fact that millions of gamers happen to be admirers of music, and vice versa. Perhaps any stages resulting from the game's built-in creation tools could in turn be monetized, making Sony and players alike a little extra scratch on the side. Number 8, Siphon Filter. Whether fair or unfair, Sony's Siphon Filter franchise, which began on the original PlayStation back in February of 1999, was often compared to Metal Gear Solid, which began around the same time and toted somewhat similar stealth-based gameplay that hinged around a deep story. This comparison hurt Siphon Filter at the time, since Sony Ben's franchise certainly couldn't live up to the heights of Kojima's epic series. But now that Kojima is gone from Konami, and now that Konami seems to be somewhat intent on continuing the franchise without him, much to the chagrin of essentially the entire player base, it could very well be time for Siphon Filter to sneak back in, pardon the pun. It could scratch an itch for a Metal Gear Solid-like experience without all of the baggage and drama that comes along with the MGS moniker. It's been 11 years and counting since we received a new Siphon Filter game. Indeed, none of the six games in the series have appeared on any PlayStation platform since PS2 and PSP, so it's certainly been a while. This makes Siphon Filter an intriguing target for a complete reboot, if not under the direction of the original studio, currently making PS4's Days Gone, then under a studio equally as clever. For many PlayStation fans, Gabe Logan has been dormant for long enough, and with both online and offline potential, it's easy to imagine a new Siphon Filter being brought in any number of directions, perhaps becoming as dynamic and different, yet still appealing, as Metal Gear Solid 5 was in comparison to the original game. Could Siphon Filter as an episodic release work? Perhaps it could be delivered like a great mystery novel, stretched over a year, each chapter given out a morsel at a time. Frustrating, sure, but profoundly compelling if the game is actually good, and a novel way to retain long-term interest. Number 9, The Getaway. I have literally no idea why Sony abandoned The Getaway. It's the single franchise on this list of would-be comebacks that, above all others, should have already happened. And in the era of Grand Theft Auto V's years-long dominance, it's safe to say that there still has not been a better time to have it come back than the here and now. The Getaway first launched on PS2 back in the very late part of 2002, fresh from Sony-owned London studio, which has since gone on to create more family-oriented and casual fare. But pound for pound, the original Getaway is possibly Sony London's greatest game to date, and it's truly hard to imagine why Sony abandoned the IP following the launch of its sequel, Black Monday, in 2004, though a third game was in development for PS3 until being cancelled soon after the console launched. While a pivot back to the serious and grounded franchise may not make a lot of sense for Sony London as currently constructed, there are a number of teams, particularly in Sony's second-party family, that could undertake the development of a robust, modern, story-driven, open-world game, not in the mold of Spider-Man, Infamous, and the like, but rather in the mold of Grand Theft Auto, which, from a storytelling and grip perspective, always seemed to be The Getaway's primary inspiration. But it was really the Guy Ritchie-like plot that was most compelling, keeping in mind that The Getaway wasn't truly open-world at all, but almost pseudo-open-world, bringing you from one story location to the next. That was almost certainly done to ease development, but in the modern era, there can be no shortcuts. Sony simply didn't see ahead of the curve enough to identify what it could have had on its hands if it just stayed the course with The Getaway, yet there's no reason to think Sony couldn't get another chance to return and triumph. Number 10, The Legend of Dragoon. I've always been a little confused by the popularity of PS1-exclusive JRPG The Legend of Dragoon. It was a good game, sure, but it was also a latecomer to a platform that happens to have what could easily be termed the best collection of Japanese role-playing games in the history of the video game industry. But this quietly developed Studio Japan game, launched in the West in 2000 on the eve of PS2's entrance onto the market, has been consistently beloved by a group of players that rave about it, so much so that it was a cool little surprise and a tip of the cap when Dart, the game's protagonist, was included in the mascot brawler PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, albeit as a little advertised DLC character. Oh, and Shuhei Yoshida produced the game long before he became beloved on the internet, so that's pretty cool. A sequel to The Legend of Dragoon was at one time in development, probably for PlayStation 2, but it never saw the light of day, and the franchise dissolved into the background as Sony began to primarily revolve its exclusive catalog around more Western brands, developers, and genres. Indeed, there hasn't been anything out of Sony's first-party studios like The Legend of Dragoon in nearly two decades. Thing is, JRPGs fell into a lull in the mid-aughts, but they're back in a major way. Final Fantasy XV was a critical and commercial hit, and Dragon Quest XI is a more recent success story. Then there's the likes of Persona 5 and the Tales franchise also keeping things on track. Sony's ecosystem isn't hurting for JRPGs or even exclusive JRPGs, but it is hurting for an exclusive, internally developed AAA JRPG, and The Legend of Dragoon could ameliorate this absence, whether in the form of a reboot or a long-awaited sequel. While highly unlikely, it would be really cool to see Sony return to this long-abandoned IP.